Hey guys, this is Stephanie Shea, voice actress. You probably know me as Sailor Moon or Hinata, Julie, and you're listening to Two Dads and a Podcast.
What's up, guys, and welcome to episode 13
Welcome
to Two Dads and a Podcast.
Two Dads Thanksgiving Extravaganza.
Oh yeah.
How y'all doing? So
We're recording this the day before Thanksgiving, so
Right.
naturally we had to tell each other and figure out what makes us fat for the holidays.
Well, before we jump straight into it, let's go through like what are you thankful for, TD?
Oh man,
Tell me
dude,
what you're thankful for this year.
it's gonna be cliched as shit, but I am super thankful for this podcast. I'm super thankful for my followers on Twitch. Having the opportunity to sit down and talk with the people that we've been able to talk to and chat with has been such a wild experience and a crazy fun ride that we're 10 interviews in and I'm still amazed every time we get a new one and still
Man,
riding that high.
we have these loyal listeners that we love. We have new listeners that we're excited to embrace. So, yeah, no, I get it. I do.
Absolutely.
I guess I'm thankful for.
No, we don't get to know what you're thankful for.
I'm thankful for Pokemon butt plugs because they're both fashionable and functional, okay?
What?
That's.
No. Really?
That's what I have to add to the conversation.
Oh, okay. This is my Eevee tail. You guys want to see
Pikachu, I choose you.
it? All right. Well,
So
sir.
we're gonna do top five, like turkey, ham, whatever the main course is out of it. Top
Yep.
five
Top
dishes
five
for
side dishes
Thanksgiving.
for Thanksgiving. Yep.
Because it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Let's do
Break it
it,
up from the
man.
norm. Break it up from the norm.
Yeah. Something that we can just, this is going to be a more relaxed sort of episode,
Oh yeah. Well, I
if you
mean,
haven't
we're about to get really
noticed.
fat tomorrow. We had pizza for dinner because I didn't feel like cooking anything tonight. So,
So what's your number five then,
my
man?
number five is a classic cranberry sauce.
What type of cranberry, man? Because we always had ours out of a can and we sliced
either out of a can or
it.
fresh, it's something that had to make the list for me. And whether
Yep.
it's, Tired Mom, her homemade, it's super vibrant and flavorful. It's got chunks of actual cranberry and stuff in
Yeah.
it. It's not super thick. So
So
it's actually like a sauce.
my number five is cranberry sauce, actually,
But
because it's a fucking
it's a
classic, man.
classic, man. So I do enjoy cranberry sauce from the can, though. There is something about having it slurp out of the can and slicing it with a knife and just kind
Just
of
when it hits
plopping
the
it
plate
down.
and
Yeah, it's just
jiggles a little bit, turns me on a little. I don't know why.
it's a perfect bit of like sweet and bitter that goes perfect with a
Yeah.
well-cooked turkey. It really does.
No doubt. So
So
what's
I
your number
guess
four?
number four. This one's a little non-traditional for a lot of folks, and it's the pickle tray.
Oh, okay.
So growing up, we always had like little appetizers and stuff sitting out so everybody could snack
Obviously.
while dinner was being cooked. And we always had a tray of pickles. And it had pickles from bread and butter pickles, your sweet pickles, your kosher dill pickles, your miniatures, and I loved it. It was just, something you could just sit down, you could, eat and snack on. And it was right next to the tray that had all the olives on it.
Sadly, I don't like pickles myself. I do enjoy a good relish, especially like a spicy relish, but I never really got into pickles. But my number four is, and I'm gonna go a little, I'm gonna take some liberties here because it's technically a side, but in most families, it is used as a side, and that would be gravy, all kinds. And as a kid, I didn't like gravy. But now, as an adult, I
Man.
appreciate it so much more. Whether it's white or brown, all shapes or sizes, whether it has sausage, meat, or whatever in it, I love me some gravy, and I will pour it on all of the plate.
Oh yeah, dude, I make I make my own homemade gravy now more than buying like this, any store-bought stuff.
For sure, yeah.
And it's so easy to make, and especially when you get like the fresh turkey drippings out of the oven and you mix that in and it got little chunks of turkey and stuff. Oh man, it's I'm gonna tell you,
you're getting me hard right now. So good. You're getting me hard. What's your number three?
Number three, another more appetizer side, but we would have it along on our main plate, is pigs in a blanket.
Oh,
there is something about pigs in a blanket. They're so simple, yet so fucking good. And I love it. You get those little smokies, you wrap them in your croissant, and you bake it to flaky perfection. And that's it. That's all,
like,
that's
sometimes
all
like
you have
the
to do.
Cheapest, most simple things can be the best. And my number three is sort of along the same vein, and that would be just rolls.
Right on. So but crescent I'll also rolls, dinner rolls.
Yeah, I'll throw cornbread in with it because I love me some fucking cornbread, man.
Good, yeah, get some good cornbread. Hell yeah.
You ever get like the 12-pack of rolls that you're supposed to put in the oven? So I was just starting out at the Kroger Columbus Bakery, and they would give out rolls during the holiday season for free for the employees to take home.
Oh, yeah, Kroger instead of paying you a living wage. I got it.
Yeah. No, they paid pretty good, but that's probably why they shut the place down, was they paid a little too good. So I got like 4 packs of these, and I showed up to the recording studio, and we were doing our EP for Foxtrot, my band, and I was stoned and probably a little drunk, and I was just eating these rolls, and I got through half the pack, and Adam was like, hey man, aren't you supposed to bake those first? And I'm like, what? Aren't you supposed to bake those first? Oh, shit.
Well, look, as long as it wasn't raw dough, it doesn't matter.
It turned out to be delicious. Yeah. And I kind of got a few other people addicted to that on accident with that night.
We all the time growing up would have those packs of rolls. You just buy them off the shelf. And they're meant to be warmed up and baked, but we never did. Because the soft, fluffy bread and everything. You know, you put a little butter on it, let it soak, because softer bread soaks up gravy so much better.
Sometimes you just gotta march at the beat of your own drum, man. That's all there is to it. So where are we at? Where are we at with this?
Two.
Number two?
Yeah, we're already number two. This is going quick. So
that's okay. We got an interview to get to. So
yeah, we do.
No problems.
So number two, mashed potatoes.
Nice.
Had to be mashed potatoes. Honestly,
what do you do with yours?
Oh man, I eat them.
Thanks for clearing that up for me. You really invested some time into this, didn't you?
So look, man, I could live on mashed potatoes, and I practically did when I had my wisdom teeth taken out. I had all four of them, and I literally lived on mashed potatoes for an entire week,
dude. Like even like instant mash, when I had the same thing, and it was instant mash was so just easy to make. You just
boil 2 cups of water, pour it on, and done.
The flakes in, you're good, man.
So
my number two is...
Oh, I guess I don't get to elaborate more on mashed potatoes.
Nope, you lost that opportunity. My number two is pasta, like of all shapes and sizes. My parents would take the gizzards and the neck out of the turkey and stuff, boil them in a pot.
Get that broth.
Take those out, and then cook the noodles in that broth, and
Hell
it would
yeah,
just
dude.
Imbue them with that flavor.
Also, like turkey noodles, like turkey flavor noodles.
Yeah, so good. But you also get like mac and cheeses and stuff that are great, you know, baked ziti or whatever you want to make for Thanksgiving, honestly. Yeah.
You know, there's always pasta, like pasta salad as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's a variety of pasta salads you can make.
Italian or ranch or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. Let's just pack on the carbs tomorrow, man.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
what's your number one?
Number one is corn casserole. And it's
corn is great. Everything corn runs great. On corn.
And this is something, you know, my grandmother made and then my mom made. And, you know, now I've kind of come up with my own kind of recipe for it. And it's super simple. It's mainly just corn, crackers crunched up to use almost like a breadcrumb, but you get the cracker flavor. I like to use the Ritz crackers.
Those
and
are the best.
Swiss cheese with some seasonings and some other stuff added in. But you mix all that up.
Yeah.
You put some more Swiss cheese on top, you bake it, you get this nice crispy, like almost burned cheese layer on top with this gooey casserole. Oh my God, I'm getting a little hungry now. And I just had some pizza. Oh man, well, it's delicious, and it's so freaking easy. It's probably one of the easiest big sides you could make.
Yeah, I mean, you think about corn. I want to say it was a documentary or something I watched where like 80% of your pre-made foods in a grocery store are corn-based products, you know, mm-hmm. and then you go to, there's ethanol, like the world runs on fucking corn, which is why when you drive through our home state of Ohio, you see nothing but goddamn corn from end to corn, end in the state.
Corn, go to corn hell, fields, billboard, man. Corn. So what is your number one Thanksgiving side?
So my number one, and sort of the reason why I didn't mind cutting you off, is mashed fucking potatoes, man. I am so Irish, and potatoes are so close to my heart. As a child, I was allergic to milk. And so ice cream and everything, all these good things, sour cream that I didn't get to experience till later in life, they were kind of out of my reach. And so I'm told that potatoes was always my go-to snack in any form, you know, baked potato, mashed potato, roasted potatoes, man. So potatoes is it. That's it.
Dude, mashed potatoes, especially whether they're instant, whether they're homemade, smooth, chunky, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
You put some sour cream in with it, some chives, some garlic, some, you know, cheese on
fresh
top.
Butter. Yeah. You know, and you can have them so many different ways. You could have them kind of loaded with the sour cream and chives, and or you could do butter and just butter. You could do gravy on top of them. You know, dude, there were even times growing up I would experiment and I would do like weird, crazy things. And I found out that barbecue sauce in mashed potatoes is actually pretty damn good.
Yeah, you would find that out, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would, because I'm fat. Yeah. But dude, there's so many different flavors you could do, and it doesn't matter, because you throw some toppings on it, don't throw toppings on it, doesn't matter. It's a creamy mashed potato heaven, and
we like to roast them, mash them, smash them, slice them up and throw them in the oven with cheese, whatever it is.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Thanks, so I'll ask you this question with a bit of trepidation. What's news with you, buddy?
Well, I got a couple things this week. First of which is about Xbox. So Phil Spencer, who is the head of Xbox, has mentioned that they're looking into bringing an Xbox app to smart TVs. And what this would allow you to do is with their Project xCloud service that they're coming out with, it would allow you to stream Xbox games to your smart TV. So say you're
Wow.
Amazing, right?
It's so, kind of along the lines of what Google was trying to do when they said they were going to launch their system this year.
And yeah, their Stadia service.
What you would be able to do is play on the system, but also play on your Google laptop, computer, your Google phone, or your Google TV all in one service. And you could pick up where you left off on, no matter what device you left off on. So is it sort of along those same lines?
It is. It would technically run through the console itself, as far as I'm aware, but it would allow you to stream the game, because they have it right now to where you could even do it with your phone for some games as well. Right. And so say you have your console in one room, but you have people over and you want to play in the family room or in a different room, you just load it up and open up the app and you're playing Xbox just streamed right through your TV.
So does that mean instead of buying an Xbox, I can just get the service and have access to some of those same games on my TV? Or
that
do I need
both? I don't know. I know for sure you would have to have their service. You would have to have Xbox Live, but I'm not sure the fine details, because it doesn't really have a whole lot of fine details in it. So
okay, so we'll wait and see.
Yeah, but for sure. that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, it
the
is.
Next one, go ahead.
No. I was just gonna say that could make a big difference between buying an Xbox and buying a PlayStation for me. if I can get access to the older games that I want to play through.
Yeah, it all depends on what games are going to be available for yeah. that service.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
So the next piece of news is actually about Sony. It's not about their gaming portion. It's about their film and TV portion.
Okay.
Sony is buying or in the process of buying out Crunchyroll.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow, so, we'll see whether or not that gets blocked.
Yeah, dude, right now it looks like it's actually on the board for over 100 billion yen, which is about $957 million. And so they're looking to buy that to kind of get into the streaming service element. It would still be the same Crunchyroll we all know. And, you know, still have your mainly subtitled anime and your simuldubs and your, you know.
With the way that Sony is in, especially Japan, that makes a shit ton of sense, man.
It really does. It really does.
That makes way more sense than like Disney and Star Wars, you know, made at the time. And that one almost got blocked. So if that passed, I think this one will go through and it could be really cool.
Well, and the thing is, AT&T is actually...
It'll get hacked a lot, though.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get hacked so much.
AT&T is the one, is the company who owns Crunchyroll now. So it's kind of interesting that they're looking to sell...
Yeah.
So they must not be making the money they want on it or just trying to narrow down. Who knows? Who knows with these like super mega corps?
Right on.
And my last one, this one's kind of dear to my own heart here, is for all the Magic the Gathering fans who are out there, Bob Ross is going to come to Magic the Gathering. They are coming out with a... If you're unfamiliar with Magic the Gathering, they have these Secret Lair cards, and it's a bundle you can buy, and it includes a number of cards that are only ever found during this in their limited time. So they're a collector's item. They have taken, 10 of Bob Ross's landscapes and his paintings, and they are putting them on some basic lands. So your forest, your swamps, your mountains.
Oh my and God, so the, happy trees and happy birds everywhere.
Yeah, dude. So you only get two of each basic land with it. And I want to say it's going to be $30 or $40 for the non-foil and foil versions of it. But you'll be able to play Magic the Gathering with Bob Ross paintings as your mana, as your lands.
That nothing gets much better than that. So I'll say that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, I love that. Because Bob Ross is, I mean, he's dear to so many people's hearts, you know, growing up.
Yeah.
And he was so wholesome and he's done, you know, his attitude improved so many people's lives. And I just love that. I love that.
His story is phenomenal. If you don't know anything about it, like, obviously, you know who Bob Ross is. Everybody knows who the fuck Bob Ross is. But if you don't know his actual, like, story and how he got to be working with PBS, read about that. It's really cool.
Go look it
up.
It is. So, yeah,
so
do you have anything else?
I have some news. So we recently got a first look at the live-action Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Okay, does he eat everybody and defecate on houses?
Last week we talked about Tom and Jerry. And this is just another, like, it's so, why? Why?
Dude, I loved Clifford growing up. Clifford was fantastic for young me.
Yeah, I liked it too. It was fine. Why do we need a live-action version?
Because we need a live-action everything.
I felt the same
everything.
Way about Lion King. We're going a little too far with this live-action bullshit, okay? And it just, calm the fuck down. Please. Not everything has to be made into live action.
Next thing you know, we're going to get...
Some of us still like animated features.
We're going to get a live action... what was the one movie called?
A Bug's Life? They're just going to like... that.
Just it's just going to be a Bugs documentary.
David Attenborough will be narrating it. It's just a fucking documentary, okay? Jesus Christ.
Or we're going to get the one where it's about the
Ants
pill.
Was a good one.
The pill that jumps in... and goes down into the body and fights alongside some white blood cells. Osmosis Jones. We're going to get a live action
Thank
Osmosis
you.
Jones.
All right. So my last thing is, guys, so obviously we're big fans of Dave Chappelle. And if you're a big fan of Dave Chappelle, please boycott Chappelle's show. Chappelle's show needs to be boycotted, and not just because of, like, it's at his request. He's made zero money off of it, and they're just making a shit ton of money. So he's pleading with his fans. He did a thing on Instagram yesterday, which is why we suddenly started following him on Instagram, because his Instagram didn't do anything for a while. And then suddenly he dropped this video, and it's called Unforgiven. It's a special. It's about 20 minutes long. It's super good.
His specials are great.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And he talks about how he got fucked over by Comedy Central, and suddenly, which we mentioned in a previous episode, Chappelle's show was on Netflix. Awesome. This is great, but he makes no money off of it. He has no say on it. He doesn't control his own name. His brand is not owned by him, because Comedy Central has those rights. And since he broke his contract, he has zero rights to it at all.
Oh, geez.
And so he asked Netflix to stop streaming the show. And obviously, if you know anything about Chappelle, he is in contract with Netflix. He does specials for Netflix currently. And they told him, yes, we'll pull it off the network. So it's going to stop streaming, boycott it.
Oh, wow. They actually acquiesced to him. That's,
yes.
That's really surprising.
He had glowing words to say about them and how they treat him and all that. And I know we've had some negative things to say about them because of how they just kind of cancel our shows. But that's our own selfish, nerdy, disposition.
So.
Don't give any money to Comedy Central. You know, let's get this guy his rights back. And that's the only news I have for today.
Well, that brings us to our interview series. We have a
fantastic... we still doing interviews?
we are. We have Stephanie, a fantastic one to bring you tonight. Oh man,
Stephanie Shea. She's just an amazing individual.
Huge,
hardworking.
Very hardworking.
Hardworking. And her talents, I mean, she'll be the first to tell you a lot of the voices she does are just her, but Stephanie it's her Shea. Acting that it's her acting that brings out these characters. But she's also a writer. She's a director. She's a producer. She's a casting director, and just a great person to talk to.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to show you guys.
With no further fluff, here is Stephanie Shea.
Joining us, Stephanie. You're like probably the first voice actor we talked to. I mean, Caitlin Glass was big into anime, but you're one of the only ones.
She's a voice actor. Caitlin Glass is totally a voice actor.
Oh, well, yeah. She's into anime. A lot of the other ones weren't really into anime that much, and you're into anime.
The first voice actor that's into anime.
Yeah.
All the other ones are like, oh, I'm just an actor. They
always use the I don't have enough time.
Well, you know what, though? I'm less into anime than... Well, okay, I was into anime.
Yeah.
And I don't have enough time. I don't sit around and... I like, now if I watch it, it is kind of for work.
Well, that's pretty awesome, though. That's still pretty awesome.
It is. My joke to my friends is like, I get to binge Netflix before it's on Netflix.
Right. Well, our favorite anime is Cowboy Bebop. Do you have a favorite one, or do you not like to play favorites?
I have like many favorites. Cowboy Bebop is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I love the episode where they find that they all get high.
Right.
That's great episode where Spike's like
crawling. The mushroom samba.
Yeah. I also love, I can't remember which episode, but you know the cowboy guy that comes?
Oh, yeah. The blonde hair, not that YMCA.
and look, when I watch Cowboy Bebop, I that's one of those shows where like I really like the dub, but I also really like the Japanese.
For sure.
And, you know, like the dub is different than the Faye is the most different, but I think Wendy is great as Faye.
Yeah.
But in Japanese, she's more of a bratty younger sister. And in And in the English version, she feels like almost a potential love interest, you know?
I think they're playing to their audience there.
I actually just had this kind of conversation with somebody the other day about how a lot of times the dub ends up kind of changing the personality sometimes of the characters. A
little bit. But I think they both work. But that one blonde character is the one that, like, they do a really good job in the English, but you just... It's so hard because it's one of those translations. Because if you watch in Japanese, he peppers in English words and like he tries to throw in English words into his Japanese, but the way he does it is redundant. It's like repetitive, you know, like, so it's not like, yeah, it's so funny.
So they did get Western culture right, just redundancy with words.
Yeah, he like literally repeats what he says in English after saying it in Japanese, like just certain words, like,
yeah,
really funny.
Outside of anime, you know, obviously, because you said you don't have as much time for that. What do you nerd out for? What do you get really excited about?
I nerd out for a lot of stuff. One of the reasons why, you know what, I would watch a lot more anime if I. So weird as a voice actor say. I prefer the subs.
Right.
And there's... like a lot of my binge watching these days is like while I'm working.
Multitask.
So like I can't, if I want to watch something subtitled, it's like I can't watch it when I'm working.
We literally have this conversation all the time being dads. It's like we can't watch subtitles anymore. Like, thank God for the simuldub.
Totally distract. How old are your kids?
My son is 3.
Mine are 5 and 8 now.
Yeah.
So 5 and 8, you have, wait, are they boys or are they girls?
Boy is the oldest, girl is the youngest.
And right, my son, yeah, son.
Boys are crazy, man.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they are. I have him actually kind of like in his room right now with, we did the ABC mouse thing for him. And so he gets to go to school.
On ABC Mouse.
Do you? That is awesome. When he gets older, I'll tell him about that. But yeah, I just have him kind of shut up in there, and he gets so excited. I want to go to school, Daddy. And it's like, okay, son, it keeps you quiet for a few minutes, absolutely.
Yeah, ABC Mouse is great. I feel like, especially when I read the books, especially books about animals, I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh. No, but I think the age of learning is the company that does it, and they do a really, really good job.
Oh, they do.
Okay, I'm totally nerdy for Star Wars. I love Star Wars.
Not episode 1 through 3. What didn't you like about those?
So episode 1 to me was too kidsy.
Right.
So I felt like, okay, like, and I, so episode 1, well, I was like, it was too kidsies, and yeah. I felt like it just didn't, I didn't enjoy it, you know?
I understand. Yeah.
They felt dumbed down. Right. Then I watched episode 2, and episode 2, I felt like had the potential of a good movie. Like the story was all there and stuff, but I just didn't think the movie itself was made well. I thought like the actors were better than the performances they gave.
Right.
And so it was more disappointing, even though it was a better story. You know what I mean? Right. And better content than episode 1. Episode 2 had better content than episode 1, but was executed more poorly in my opinion. So like, and then I just couldn't watch episode 3. I was like, fool me twice. I've watched every other Star Wars movie, and yet I really did like Last Jedi. So
okay, cool. Yeah.
See, I still haven't seen it, believe it or not. Like, it's on my list. It's there.
I was that child in the movie theater for episode 1. I think I was about 9 or 10 when it came out. So.
Oh, so then it was perfect for you.
Yeah, it was a different experience for me than it was for anybody outside of that generation. Probably didn't feel the same way.
Well, but, I also didn't like the whole midichlorian.
That one didn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, because like the Force has been so, like, I have a friend, a voice actress friend, You know, when people ask her what her religion is, she says the Force.
Nice. And,
like, there's so much that you can extrapolate from that lore that, yeah, that kind of works with the various like mysticisms, and whether it be like Eastern philosophy or even magic, you know, things like that. Like, it, you can kind of relate it to a lot of energy work stuff in the world. But then when you start putting it like a technical fictional science on it, you know, right, mm-hmm, with all those rules, then it kind of takes away from
it. It kind of goes into the realm of Scientology at that point. Are you excited for the Mandalorian coming out this month?
Season 2?
Yeah, I mean, I like Mandalorian okay. It's not my fave of all the Star Wars stuff.
Right.
I think my favorite, it goes in between, because to me, like, Star Wars is a fairy tale.
Yeah.
It's like, in terms of genre. So I like that it makes me feel like a child and a kid again when I watch it, like, right, you know, and full of hope and promise and, you know, and this idea that like the good guys will win and lightness and dark and all the kind of stuff. But, my Google alerts are going off.
No worries. No worries.
But
for a second, I thought it was my computer. I was like, what's going on?
But then I also really, really, really like Rogue One.
Rogue One was really good.
It was well
done.
But
that is completely opposite of the rest of the Star Wars stuff. Rogue One is like a war movie. Yeah. It almost like it doesn't fit into the rest of the genre. But there's so many gems in there, you know.
And the cast was so strong. The depth of it was really strong.
I'm kind of excited to see where they go with the new High Republic. Have you seen anything on that or?
I don't like to be like, if I really, really love something, I don't want to be spoiled.
Yeah, you won't be surprised.
I don't want to know who's in it. I don't want to know anything about it. If you tell me, oh, so and so is gonna be in it, I'll like punch you in the face. Like, I can't remember what movie we saw. We saw some movie, a bunch of us went to go see some movie, and it must have been some kind of like superhero or kind of that genre movie.
Yeah.
And the very first trailer for, I don't know if it was, it must have been Last Jedi. It was for Last Jedi, yeah. The trailer for Last Jedi, it started playing right before the movie. It must have been a Marvel movie. And immediately my fingers went in my ear, like this is what I do. Like when I close my eyes and it was until my friend tapped me and told me it was like a crazy person. And everybody, it was so funny because Mikkelsen or Nicholas happened to be at that was at the movies too. It was a group of the entire theater, it was like, because it was also a new trailer, like no one had seen it. As soon as the trailer, the first few seconds, I think you see like Rey on a rock or something. As soon as you see Rey, the entire theater was like, yeah. And him and I were like, yeah. And everyone thought we were like insane. It's not because we hate the movie. It's like we didn't want to be spoiled, you know? Right.
I am appreciate the that. Same way. My wife tries to, like, she loves spoilers. And no. I think she's crazy for it. And she'll try to tell me these things like, oh my goodness, well, guess what I just found out about the new Star Wars movie? And I'm like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. If you talk about this, I'm going to leave right now.
And you know what I hate is when someone's like, oh no, but this doesn't matter. I'm like, fuck you. Sorry, can I swear?
As much as you fucking want.
Okay, I'm like, you don't know what matters to me, you know? Or they're like, oh, blah, blah, the twist. Well, I didn't tell you what the twist was. I'm like, great. Now I'm going to be sitting there looking for a freaking twist every single second. You know, thanks a lot.
It all matters. Shit.
So, but yeah, the High Republic, though, is a, like, portion. It's more of a lore that they're delving into than any, like, I don't think they actually have any movies or anything announced for it just yet.
It's a comic book thing right now.
Yeah. What is it, like 400 years, 500 years before the original trilogy?
I don't know.
I know Yoda's only like 200 years old instead of 700 years old.
I got really confused during The Mandalorian because I saw Mandalorian late, and then
I still haven't watched it.
You're talking. You figure it out on your own. Okay, it's not
fair enough.
Russell Hand. Earmuffs, Russell. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, continue.
Yeah, he's got to stick his fingers into his headphones.
I'll just mute.
Wait, really? He's gonna. No, I was like all confused because everyone's like, Baby Yoda this, Baby Yoda that.
Yeah.
Wait, so this must be a prequel. And then I started watching, like, this isn't a prequel. And I was like, that's right. Not even Yoda. It's not Yoda as a baby. Why are you calling it Baby Yoda?
I had to look it up. I was confused. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's between episode 5 and 6. And like, when did we decide this was a thing? Anyways. Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to go back and listen to the entire interview.
Oh yeah, we didn't plan that out so good. Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah, so yeah, Star Wars is like a big one. I was way into Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
I've been into this whole, it's how it started out. I'm also a completionist as well as a no spoiler kind of girl, but I'm a completionist to the point that sometimes I don't even complete things because I'm trying to be completionist. Like, I played Final Fantasy, was it 8?
Okay.
Who's in 8? Is that?
8 was the one after 7.
8 was Squall.
Yeah, Squall and Rinoa, right? Yeah. I couldn't remember. I never remember Squall's name because I named him Scarface.
See, I recognize him more as Leon from the Kingdom Hearts games because they call him a different name in that.
So it's the Eyes on Me one, right?
Yeah.
So that's the one that I played, right? Because I like the idea of games, but one, I don't have any time, and two, I'm really terrible at it. So I really turn-based RPGs. The new RPGs, I can't deal. It's too much. I was playing 8, and I got to the 4th disc, right? Yeah. And then I found out, I realized there was a guardian force that was a non-essential guardian force that I did not get on some random
somewhere,
right? Mm. So then I was like, oh shit, I have to go back. So then I went back, but my last save point was at the beginning of disc 3.
Oh, geez.
Just really.
I hate it.
And disc 3 was like the longest. And that freaking Tomeberry King was such a bitch to kill. And on top of that, not only was I such a completionist, I literally took like a month off just to collect all the cards.
I believe
play the card games as well in the game there. So like I never finished the game because I was trying to like completely finish the game.
I'm actually playing through. I challenged myself to play through every main number Final Fantasy game. So I have played through Final Fantasies 1 through 5, and I'm on 6, and it's just. I have such a daunting journey ahead of me because I'm the kind of the same way, but at the same time,
the only type of challenges you get from nerds is
your self-betterment challenge is to play all of your Final Fantasy games. Over.
Oh my goodness. I want to do everything in the games, but I'm forcing myself not to, and it's harder to do that than it is to be like, okay, oh hey, there's this side quest over here, let me go and do this. I need to talk to this guy. Have I talked to this guy a second time? And it's harder to do that and to not get everything for me because I'm the same way. I have to do everything. I have to collect all the stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't give two shits.
This completionist thing. So two friends of mine went through a directing program to foster more female directors. And they went through, and part of it after they graduate is they like help them find jobs. And they both got jobs directing episodes of Legacies. I don't know if you know what that show is. So Legacies is... So I wanted to support them, right? So I was like, they're directing the show called Legacies. I'm going to go watch it, right? So I went to go watch it when they were working on it. And then when I went to look it up, it said Legacies is the sequel to The Originals. And I was like, I better watch the originals. So then I go back and I search for the originals, and it says, the originals is a spinoff of Vampire Diaries. I went back and I watched all of the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Which is like six seasons. Of the Vampire Diaries. And I think there's like four seasons of the originals.
Oh, and that is good. Then, that's adding up there.
Yeah. And then Legacies now is, it's going into its third season.
I'm
now on the second season of it. But I did it. I like watched one episode. So in the beginning, I was like, oh, this is such a teeny bopper show. It's so like.
Yeah. I remember seeing Vampire Diaries. I didn't know they did so many.
You know why they did so many? Because it was freaking popular, because the show is actually kind of really good. Like, right. I got totally hooked. Completely hooked. I'm like, give me more. Yeah, I'm waiting for season three of Legacies. I'm totally like, who is so-and-so? Are they going to make a cameo? And I feel a little ridiculous because I think these are geared towards like teenage girls. And
Was that a CW?
Yeah, it was a CW.
Okay, show. Okay, I know what you're talking about then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's actually like quite creative, and I think it's great. I'm not embarrassed to say that I'm a fan. It's great. It's a great show. And I have since found out that there's other people that I know who watch the show, but I think they watched it when they were younger instead of when they were in their 40s.
Hey, it's never too late for anything.
That's right. You know, you said you play video games. Do you have a particular favorite? Do you have a favorite genre or anything?
I don't really play video games. Like, it's not fair to say I play video games, because I've played them in the past.
Okay. So you've played.
Yes. I like them. I'm not good at them, and I don't have the time commitment to really play. I would say in the past, I would call myself a hardcore observer.
Okay.
Like, especially in my college years, all my friends would come over and play, and I would just like watch them. It wasn't like casually watching. I was like very fully invested in watch. It was like I was a participant.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, like watching them play. But I'm not good at it. My friends in college used to ask me to play Resident Evil because it was funny. Because I would like run into the, because like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh man, there. Those original dogs, controls were so bad.
They were so hard. And also I was not good at the first person controls. I was better at like, up is the top of the screen, you know, right. You know, like, instead of being like from the character's point of view, it like really confused me. Like I was really, really terrible at it. So they always thought it was really funny when they would give me so like, what games have I played? I never finished, but we got like halfway through Portal 2.
That's a good one.
That, you know, and I didn't play all of Portal 1. And then I have a little bit of an addictive personality. So for a while I was like a hardcore puzzle game person. And I'm not anymore, because I will like not get any sleep. I will not get anything done, and I'll just be like obsessed, you know. Like, I was a big fan of Sega Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Why?
The free game that came. Also, I love Dr. Mario.
Yeah,
Mario's a classic.
Yeah, any of those. And I play like Tsum Tsums on, although I deleted Tsum Tsums because I was like playing it too much. especially with the microtransactions, spend a lot of money on it.
I've had to uninstall my share of mobile games, so I understand. Hard rule.
No purchases. That's my hard rule.
I always say that, and then I'm like,
but it's only $1.
$1.99. Oh, but you know, if I pay $9.99, I get like six times as many coins to spend.
Yeah, well,
you know?
I have expensive hobbies, if you don't notice, and those add up. Well, let's get back to voice acting. Do you have a biggest like influence on your acting? I guess it doesn't have to be voice acting because you do so much more than just voice acting, but do you have a biggest influence or do you have a favorite actor or voice actor over the years?
There's so many. I didn't really start out like wanting to be a voice actor. I just wanted to be an actor. And then I liked anime, but I didn't like the dubs. Yeah. And so I thought like, oh, it should be easier to enter the field if I enter into anime dubs versus like other acting. And then, and I think I had a little bit of a leg up because I'm Asian. I understood some of the cultural references a lot easily. So there was that. And then I just found I kept getting hired to do voiceover. Part of me think that I'm not the classic, like, you know, there's a lot of different types of voice actors, you know, some for of them sure. are really good at manipulating their voices. And they have a very wide range of that. Others are like really great improvisers. Others are really good at mimicking stuff, mimicking sounds and people and voice matching, you know. And then some for me, I feel like I have a reasonable range, like a pretty good range, but I'm not like one of those people with like a amazing range, you know. And
I mean, we think you're phenomenal.
But, absolutely.
And then I feel like I rely more on the acting being, you know, the acting portion rather than like the sound.
Oh yeah, definitely. You incite a lot of emotion in a lot of the characters that we've definitely grown up watching. I think like Hinata, especially, like there's a lot of emotion in a lot of those characters. And you add a lot of depth to them. And it clearly shows.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. So it wasn't so much like one person that I look up to in that way. I think that like I try to like learn from everybody in a way.
That's smart.
And even like when I like am in a session with other actors, you know, I'm like making mental notes, or if I'm directing an actor and they're doing something, I'm making mental notes, like, you know, because I think I'm just a fan of the art and the craft of acting. So to speak. I think it's fascinating to me, mostly because I read an article one time in a psychology magazine that said that actors are kind of like psychologists for their characters, right? They need to figure out what makes them tick. And some of these characters can be very complex, you know, and you try to figure out their history and their motivation and how they would react and then just kind of be in that moment and react in that moment. And I think that's one of the reasons why I find the art or the craft of acting so fascinating, is because I feel like you're studying human nature.
Yeah.
And I just find like humans to be really interesting.
Good humans,
bad humans, flawed humans, just like, what makes us do what we do? It's really fascinating to me.
Do you think actors could benefit from more sort of psychology courses when they're in college? Do you think that's sort of a tool?
I mean, I think a lot of actors end up taking psychology anyway. Like, sure, you know, I do think that like there's a new crop of voice actors who don't necessarily come from the acting background, who are more like a fan of the genre, you know, or are good at like making the sounds of what they're seeing or hearing and stuff. Yeah. And then some of them start off that way and then they get into the acting part of it, you know? But I always think studying, no matter what you're doing, is, even if it's for your hobby, it's makes the hobby and everything else like more rewarding.
For sure.
Definitely. So you've worn and still wear, very many hats in the industry. So how do you find yourself balancing all of those different roles?
That is a constant struggle.
I believe it.
So I think it's really hard. I remember when I decided when I got when I, so I started out, my first like job was producing anime for a company called SyncPoint, and then they kind of like went out of business, and then I got let go. They said you can stay in on the company and do marketing or sales, and I didn't want to do that. And so then I wanted to just pursue voiceover. And even when I was being a producer, I wanted to be doing more voiceover. So that was like, it's like one of those moments in life where you're like, oh my gosh, this sucks and this is really scary. But then it also forced me to choose a path, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It forced me to go after and take a risk and really work hard at that. So it ended up being a good thing. I remember as I was getting more into voiceover, I remember thinking, oh, I can kind of miss producing. But even though my dream is the acting portion of it.
Yeah.
And then the more acting you do, the more you realize that, like, as an actor, you can only be responsible for your own performance. And even then, there's only so much that you can do. You know, like, you maybe you want to do another take, but, like, that's not, there's no time for it, right? Or right. Maybe, mm-hmm. like, you would rather the character go in this direction, but there's, but, like, that's not where the producers and the directors are seeing it, you know, or the script is written a certain way, or maybe the working conditions are in a way that's making it difficult for you to do your job. So you're not at your best. And so there's a lot of things as an actor you're not really in control of.
Yeah.
And as someone who is creative, you know, and has opinions, if right. you work on the production side of things, you have more control of making those creative decisions. But at the same time, then it's a lot of work that is not as fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like a lot of high stakes, and some of it's menial work, and some of it is really stressful work, and some of it's hard, you know? So, and some of it's really time consuming, you know?
Right.
But every part is important.
And every take more pride out of doing one or the other when you get to the finished product? Are you more proud of your voice work or your producing or directing sort of works? Or do you kind of view
I feel like I'm probably more proud of my production work, mostly because that there's more things you have to navigate for it yeah. to be successful. And there's more responsibility and more things that you're in charge of.
Right on.
But gotcha. In terms of if I had to give one of them up, I would give up my production work.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean,
because that's like the acting portion is just like part of my soul, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. I remember when I was in my 20s and I had to consider like, what am I going to do with my life? And that thought of not being an actor, like it sounds really dramatic now to say it, but I would be like sobbing, you know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
it's
given up a dream almost. And, you know, yeah, nobody wants to give up something they've come so close to.
Yeah.
Well, even then, no, at that point, let me just clarify, I was not anywhere close to it. there was no level of success.
Right.
You know, but it was super painful, you know, so, but the balance is hard and I'm often not successful at it. There have been times, but I have to, you know, I think like life is always a balance, right? And you can yeah. only do your best. And then when something's not working, you have to reassess and you're like, all right, what am I doing? I'm too tired to do this. You know, like recently I've had to delegate a lot more. Right. And that's hard for me because, you know, part of producing is like making those decisions. And there were some mistakes made, not by me. And I like really beat myself up that I didn't check up on this person's, you know, like really check up on. But I think I have to learn to let things go a little bit and learn that delegating is okay because I can't do everything.
Yeah.
Right on.
Because you have to sacrifice something. And if I'm not sacrificing the production work and I'm not sacrificing the acting work, then what I'm sacrificing is my physical health. And
yeah, that's not good.
Now, have you managed to balance enough to where you're not sleeping on bathroom floors anymore?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No. Also, you know what? I'm so old, I can't even do it. I'm like still very narcoleptic, but like I can't even, like, yeah, it's not even possible. I can't even imagine, like, how did I even stay awake? How did I even stay awake long enough? I will say that when I exercise and I eat better, I do have more energy.
Yeah.
And I've become really efficient. Like my brain is always like planning my day. Okay, I'm gonna do this. Da, 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 da. I'm strategically multitasking in a way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, or I know like I need to get here to here, and then this is gonna happen. And I, you know, like I'm shaping my day so that things are really efficient. Because, you know, I wanna make time for, you know, my working out or like, you know, or definitely taking care of myself or having, but even sometimes my breaks are like scheduled. So, you know, it goes back to when we're talking about binge watching Netflix, like, you know, I only watch when I'm working now.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very rare that I take time out to just actually just watch something. So, which also means that like, I tend to watch, no, that's not true. So when I'm working, depending on what type of work I'm doing, I watch two different types of things. I watch reality TV shows because I don't have to really pay attention.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or I watch like a mediocre show, not a bad show, but like a okay, pretty good show because I'm not, you know, but then if it's a show that I'm really into, I watch when I'm working out.
Oh yeah.
Because you're
more focused.
I hate working out.
Yes.
So right. I hate working out. So I made a rule for myself that like I can only watch the super addictive shows when I'm working out.
Because then you're not focused on the exercise.
I don't have, like when I'm exercising, I am focused enough, but like I don't have to be, I can focus on the show more than working, obviously. But like, but the other thing about it is that it encourages me to exercise. You know,
rewarding yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if I really, really want to watch a show, then I'm like, you're going to have to work out. You know? Like, it's just, those are the rules, Stephanie. So that's kind of like structured my.
Yeah. I like that.
We got a couple questions here towards the end that we like to ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
One being, who are some either up and coming voice actors or maybe some voice actors that aren't getting enough light shined on them that are really good that you are digging right now that we should know about?
I have an issue with sharing something like that, mostly because I also work in casting and I want to seem like I'm playing favorites to certain people. But that said, I am always blown away by how much talent there is out there. Every single time I'm casting, I just want to give everybody work. And it makes me sad when, you know, only one person can get the job.
Yeah.
You know? And when I go through it, like a lot of people could do the job, you know? And when it comes down to it also, I'm not making the final call. Sometimes it's clients and then it's personal opinion and, you know, your personal preference. And so I just want to say to a lot of the actors out there that are auditioning who feel like I never book, you just don't know how close you're getting to. So just like keep at it, you know?
Well, that's good. Cause they're all listening to this, by the way.
All three of them. So besides, you know, listening to some of your past interviews and some of the Q&A's that you've done, you know, I learned that a dog got into the recording studio one time and had a little accident.
Is this the poop story?
Yeah, the poop story. So outside of the poop story, do you have any other like fun in-house recording stories or anything?
I'm trying to think what funny things happen. I made myself, this wasn't an in-house recording. This was just me one morning recording auditions by myself.
That counts.
Yeah, that counts.
There was auditions and they wanted you to make zombie noises, right?
Okay.
And so I was doing this thing where it's like back of my throat, where it's like, like a lot of back in the thing with the back of my throat.
Oh yeah.
I literally puked. I made myself vomit. And like, it wasn't like a little bit of vomit. It was like, I had to like catch it in my hands.
Oh no.
Did you get a good recording out of it though?
Yeah.
Oh, it sounded great. It sounded
great. Now, did you get the role?
No, thank God.
Oh. You would have had to have recreated.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, hey guys, let's make sure there's a bucket in Stephanie's booth today.
Yeah. Don't ask why. Don't ask too many questions. As because it makes sense, would you like to do a little intro here at the end?
Intro at the end.
Yes.
Just
what do I say?
Your name.
Introduce yourself, one of your characters that you play, and then you're listening to Two Dads in a Podcast.
Yeah.
And a podcast?
And a podcast. It's a very original name.
I think it's really catchy.
We're hoping.
Hey guys, this is Stephanie Shea, voice actress. You probably know me as Sailor Moon or Hinata, Julie. And you're listening to Two Dads and a Podcast.
Oh man, what an absolute pleasure. What an absolute pleasure. And a wonderful story to end on. No.
We're never let down doing these interviews.
No. Every single one. Every single one is just a dream.
Right.
But for those of you who are subscribed to us on Patreon, the full interview will be up by tomorrow on Thanksgiving. So if anybody listening to this, the full interview will be available for you to listen to in its entirety, as are all previous aired episodes so far. So this will be number five.
We got a few more to come in the future too.
Yep.
Let's see. Don't forget to check us out on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find the podcast everywhere podcasts are available. You can also find the interviews
on our YouTube page.
I
don't
want to say this. Because I almost said the whole interview, but it's not the whole interview.
You can catch the aired interviews that we air live on Twitch on our YouTube channel.
There it is. Don't forget to rate and review, share and subscribe.
Follow.
You know, whatever you do with these things.
I mean,
yeah.
Creep outside of our windows. I mean, whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Make sure you stare in intently so that when, you know, we look outside, it creeps us the fuck out.
And, like, have, like, a thing of lipstick and just be, like, sloppily rubbing it all over your face.
Yes,
perfect. That really...
That'll seal the deal right there.
So we'll come at you guys next week with our regularly scheduled program.
Yes, we will be back on Thursday to record live. There's no interview that week. However, in 2 weeks, we have our next interview we're airing, and that is the one and only Chuck Huber.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck Huber is
Android 17,
fun person.
Emperor Pilaf, Dr. Stein,
Kuragiri,
Hiei. Yeah, Hiei. Oh man, how can you can't forget Hiei. So
hell no. Have a great holiday this week. No matter what country you're in or what holidays you guys celebrate, eat a lot of fucking food.
Get fat tired for the winter.
And pack on the weight. We got a long way to go, man. We got a long way to go.
That's right. That's right. But if anybody has any suggestions, any comments, stuff like that, please reach out, let us know, and we'll look at them and then skip by them as normal.
Yep, we will just ignore them all like we usually do. You can go ahead and email us at
2dap2020@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one. All right, guys, you have a wonderful evening.
We love you.
Whether you celebrate the holiday or not, eat food, get fat, be happy, and come back next week.